Hello everyone, welcome to this SharePoint Patterns and Practices webcast. Today we're going to talk about getting started with SharePoint webhooks. My name is Bert Janssen, I'm a service engineer inside Microsoft, and my host for today is Svesa Juvonen.
Hello, my name is Svesa Juvonen, I'm a senior program manager in SharePoint engineering on the customization side. And Bert is going to lead today. The presentation, but let's actually quickly through the typical setup of within the webcast, what we do in the BNP webcast. So just to clarify for those who are watching this webcast for the first time, these are delivered under the umbrella SharePoint Patterns and Practices, or also known as Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices, because this particular webcast is all about SharePoint and SharePoint webhooks, which are going to be available really soon when the video is out, or if you're watching the videos slightly later when we have released, then obviously they are out. But we are under the SharePoint BNP umbrella because, like mentioned, this is around SharePoint. The SharePoint BNP is around providing you code samples, guidance documentation. We have monthly community calls. We have other community calls as well. Case studies like the Prometheus and Volvo are available. The themes within the SharePoint patterns and practices are on the SharePoint framework, which is the new thing currently in the developer preview when this video is recorded. And obviously the existing technologies like the SharePoint add-ins, Microsoft Graph, Office 365 API usage. And really in the sense of remote provisioning and client-side development. But let's move back on the actual topic of today, which is the SharePoint webhooks. And I let Bert lead the discussion, and I'm going to ask them questions and while we move within the slides.
Yes, so what are webhooks? Let's give a quick introduction on what they are. And essentially, a webhook is a fairly simple model where SharePoint will push information to you. So if you want to be notified of a particular event in SharePoint, a webhook is the way to go. Webhooks are only a kind of after the facts event, so asynchronous events. So when a document is uploaded to a library, at that point after the upload, for example, your webhook will fire. SharePoint will notify you like something happened in that particular library. So in that sense, it's different than the remote event receivers we have today, which also support synchronous. Webhooks on its own is not something invented by Microsoft. We are actually adopting an industry standard which is being used by other companies like WordPress, GitHub, etc. So it's a pretty cool thing used by a lot of companies today to inform the consumers of their service of changes inside the service.
And one thing around that one, actually, it is not a Microsoft technology dependent as well. So you can absolutely implement your stuff using non-Microsoft technologies as in the endpoint. So because everything is based on HTTP.
Absolutely. Yep. And yeah, today we have it already running for OneDrive and Outlook. And as already mentioned by Vesa in the introduction, we'll soon have this available as a developer preview for SharePoint Online. Now, the coming slides, I want to explain you the two typical flows that you will see with webhooks. So one is, how do I subscribe to webhook? And the second is, okay, what happens if a webhook is fired? How does it work? And then in the demo, we'll show these two flows in the most simplistic way that we can show them to you. So let's start with subscribing to a webhook. What happens? So first of all, your application will need to make a call to SharePoint, actually saying like, SharePoint, I want to subscribe to a webhook to this particular list. So if you see the top right, we subscribe to a list, to a resource, which is a list, and we give it an expiration date, which is maximum 6 months. What SharePoint will do when it sees such a request, it actually will validate that the service you gave, so the notification URL at the top right over here, that endpoint is available. So the endpoint must be reachable by SharePoint Online before it can truly accept the webhook subscription. So SharePoint hits your endpoint, giving it a validation token, and expects that you, as the endpoint, return the past validation token within 5 seconds. If the endpoint does that, then the subscription succeeds. If not, it fails. And you will be notified in the end whether it succeeded, which means the HTTP 201 message, or whether it failed. So that's the flow. Important aspect here is that SharePoint needs to be able to reach your endpoint, even at subscription time. If you move further along, and we did our subscription, everything is fine. Now, what happens during an event? So suppose you subscribed a webhook to a list, and someone goes to that list and adds an item. At that point, SharePoint will send a message to your endpoint, providing information about the list where the change was, where the change occurred. We're not providing actual change data as such. We'll tell you like, okay, in this list, there was a change. And then you need to respond that you acknowledged the notification. And then it's up to your service to do something with the notification. So a typical approach is then use the Get Changes API in SharePoint, go to the list, figure out what has changed, and process the changes, which is then your typical business logic. This is not shown in this particular session, but we have a reference implementation of webhooks that goes in depth on how to deal with actually processing the message, how to do this in asynchronous way, how to call get changes to get the changes that happen in that list, etc. So all of that is implemented in reference implementation, which we will share at the end of this session. This session is really focused on the basic, simple process of setting it up and seeing it work. Now, before diving into the demo, I want to explain a bit of the tools we use for the demo. In particular, we use two tools, Postman and ngRock, to enable this end-to-end flow. So Postman, which you can grab via HTTPS, www.getpostman.com, is essentially a tool that can issue a GET request or a POST request. It's an easy way to issue those requests. So we're going to use Postman as the client to send a request to SharePoint. Now, we need to authenticate. And in order to authenticate, we're going to set up an Azure AD application, which gives us an access token, which we then use in Postman to hit SharePoint. So that part is covered. Now the second part is slightly more complicated, I would say, in a certain sense, is that, okay, you develop your endpoint, your service. When you press F5, it runs on localhost. So it runs on your box. Now remember that I told you that when we subscribe a webhook, SharePoint wants to hit your endpoint, your service, in order to validate whether it's available or not. Well, unfortunately, SharePoint cannot reach localhost because there are too many localhosts in the world, so that won't work. And therefore, we use ngRock as a kind of a man-in-the-middle service. So essentially, when we subscribe, we tell SharePoint the endpoint is living at a particular ngRock address. And with the ngRock client, we connect our client with that public endpoint. So the data will flow from the ngRock IO site to our local host. And in this case, it will then, for example, hit our breakpoint. So we can see the end-to-end flow happening.
So that's kind of a similar thing as Microsoft Azure Storage Bus, which you would, for example, when you do debugging or service bus, obviously. Yeah, when you do debugging of a remote event receivers in a classic adding mode, pretty much you use the service bus for that, and the model is pretty much the same.
It's the same model, yes, only this requires a little bit manual steps, but they're not super hard, but it's the same model, yes.
Yeah.
Okie doke. Right. We try to make this one a fairly smooth going webcast, so we're already into demo after 5 minutes, so that's good. So in the demo, we're going to show Postman and ngRock to test drive the SharePoint webhooks. So in a first step, I'm going to actually switch to my browser. And I already loaded the Azure portal because we're going to create an application inside Azure AD. And to do so, you need to go to https://manage.windowsazure.com, which is the Azure management portal.
Yeah.
And in there, you should see, once you log on with your tenant account, you should see an Active Directory. In this case is called Bird's Lab. I'm going to go in the directory. I'm going to go to the applications. And depending on how much you experimented, you have one or more applications listed over here. So let's add a new application. It's an application that my organization is developing. I need to give it a name. Let's call it Webhook Demo. You need to take the type web application or web API, so the first type, because that's actually what we're building. We need to give it a sign-on URL and an app ID. Essentially, that doesn't really matter what you put in there. So let me see if I can take this guy over here. So I'm going to copy a sign-on URL, which I use later on, and let's call this guy. This one doesn't really matter as well. It needs to be something unique, so I typically take my tenant name slash something demo. All right, I'm gonna save. It's validating that the URI is unique. Saving. And this brings us to the configuration page of that particular application. So I'm gonna hit on configure. And then we need to do a few things in this application to prep it for the demo. So as said, the sign-on URL doesn't really matter, but I already put this one, this getpostman.com/OAuth2/callback in there because that needs to be the reply URL. So the reply URL, this one must be like listed over here, www.getpostman.com/OAuth2/callback. And that's because we will use later on use Postman to make the request. And Postman will also authenticate against using this SharePoint Azure AD application. What else is important? It's the client ID. So I'm going to copy that already. I'm going to paste that in another window. I'm going to create a client secret because we need to authenticate. I'm going to hit save. After saving, the client secret will be shown to you. It's important that you copy it at that point, because if you leave this page, you will never ever see it again anymore. So copy the client ID and client secret and put them in a notepad somewhere to save them. So that's good. What else do we need? An application needs permissions. So a default Azure AD application only has basic logon permissions to Azure AD. So we need to add need to actually grant the permissions to SharePoint Online. So I'm going to pick SharePoint Online over here, say OK, and then I need to give it permissions. In this case, for this demo, we need to give it read and write items and all items and lists and all site collections. So like this. All right, let's save. This should conclude the setup of our application. So now we have an Azure AD application defined. We have the client ID, client secrets, which you can use for the actual to authenticate using Postman. So let's try to do that. So I'm going to switch to Postman. Postman is a free open source tool. Well, actually, not sure if it is open source. It's a free tool that you can use to issue requests to a web service. So in this case, I'm going to first ensure that we have an authentication token before we can hit SharePoint. So I open Postman. The default opens with an empty tab with the header authorization selected. So I'm going to select OAuth 2.0 because that's the model that Azure AD is using. I'm going to ask a new access token. And it will ask you to fill information. Now, in my case, things are already pre-populated because I tried it before. But essentially, it will ask you authentication URL, which is constructed like this one. So login.microsoftonline.com/common/auto/authorize? Question mark and then resource. Important here in the resource is that URL is encoded, and that you only give the host. So the host of your tenant, contoso.sharepoint.com, mycompany.sharepoint.com. Don't specify anything behind it. It's actually just telling that this is a resource that we want to get authorized for. And then we specified a URL to access to log on, actually. So the access token URL. So this already pasted in over here. I'm gonna update my client ID and client secret with the right values. So let's copy them from the other screen. This and copy this guy as well. Voila. So if I now hit request token, if you're not authenticated already, it will ask you to provide your credentials. So you provide your tenant via your user credentials and you log on, and it will give you a token. So I can select the token and I see that I got an access token back with the refresh token. So the regular or 2.0 access and refresh token. Next step is let's try to hit SharePoint. So we're going to do a GET request. And in this case, I'm going to do a request to grab the ID of a library. So let's zoom. So I'm going to hit my tenant, Bert Online, this particular site, webhook demo. And I want to grab documents list, get actually the title and ID from the documents list. To do so, I need to use the embed authorization as a header, as a token inside the header, the bearer token. So I'm going to click on the use token over here. If we then switch to headers, it nicely edits that token as a bearer in my header. And that should be it for a GET request. So let's hit send. And we, it worked. So what
it
did we get?
It worked.
It worked. We get, what did we get back? Our the ID of our documents list in that particular site. So you copy this value because you need it later on. So okay. So far so good. Now let's actually, before we do the real subscription, let's go to Visual Studio, because remember that our service needed to be running. So I'll switch to Visual Studio. And this is a basic web API service that shows you how to deal, how to process webhook notifications. Actually, this service and everything that I've showed before, all the URLs, the complete set of steps, is fully documented, and that documentation will become available as well once we release the webhook developer preview. So then you will have a bit more documentation about all of this. One of the things described in that documentation is that you need to add a few models to your project describing like the webhook notification. So the typical fields that you would send or get back during webhook notifications. And the most important class is the webhook controller. Oops, here we go. Webhook controller, which is a web API controller, like a basic web API service endpoint. And in there, this is important if condition. So if the service is hit initially, but during the setup, we provide a validation token. And we expect you to respond to that validation token. That's during setup time. Afterwards, once the webhook is set up, we don't provide that validation token. So we end up in this flow where we do something with the provided payload. So what this demo will do is we'll simply use a trace writer to write it to the output. So you can see what happens. You can see if something comes in. In real life, you would add business logic in this location, preferably even put a message in a queue, so you can do an asynchronous processing of your business logic, since the service needs to be needs to respond back to SharePoint in less than 5 seconds. So you can't anyhow run long running processes inside this service.
Just to clarify at that point, so with queue, BERT means Azure storage queues or whatever alternative queuing mechanism. So typically the Azure storage queue, if you're writing stuff in Microsoft Azure.
Yes.
So you would put the task in a queue and then the stuff is getting processed asynchronously because we need to process the stuff or response back that, hey, we got it, we'll take care of it from this moment forward. Otherwise, the SharePoint will resubmit that same event. Right, Bert?
Yes, yep. Yes. So we have an incremental resubmit model. So we will keep on resubmitting for a while. So I'm going to press F5 now, actually launching the service. Now, at that point, it will launch in localhost, which is fine. So remember that we're going to do a little trick to connect the localhost with to make it reachable by SharePoint Online. So the service is running. You need to take a note of the port number that the service is running on. So 32921 in my case. So let's remember that. Now let's launch ngRock to build the bridge to the internet. So I have a console open over here. And if I do an ls, you'll see that the ngRock executable is there. It's just, when you install it, there's just one simple executable. So that's fairly easy. So what I'll do right now is I'm going to hit ngrock.exe, want to build an HTTP bridge, listening on port 32921 for localhost. So essentially, I will connect my running localhost instance with the internet on a particular address, and that address is this guy. So HTTPS, DF1, etc. So each time when you restart this ngRock, you will get a new address. So I'm going to copy this value because I need it. All right. So pasting that in the other screen. All right. So ngRock is running. Our endpoint can be reached now. Now we can conclude with doing the actual subscription. So switching back to Postman, let's do a subscription. So the URL for subscription is a post operation. And if you look at the URL, it's again to the site, to the particular list. So this is the documents library. So we remember that we grabbed the ID in order to specify it in this operation. So we, and then the new thing is slash subscriptions. That's the endpoint we need to hit to work with the webhook subscriptions. We already have the header in, but we need to add a few more headers. One of them is the accept header. So let's add accept over here with this value. We're on JSON without metadata. And one last one is the content type. Type, which should be application slash JSON. Then, since this is a post request, we need to have a body. So for the body, we need to construct it. So I'm going to paste a piece of JSON. Essentially, it is giving me the resource. And so we have the resource again, so the pointing to our documents library. Notification URL, this is an important one. This is actually telling SharePoint, where is this particular webhook listening? Where do I need to hit it? And you see that I still have to update the ngRock address in this one. We have an expiration date, can be up to 6 months from now, and a client state. So if you specify a client state, then each time a notification is fired, we will give the client state to you. So you can do a kind of additional security check, like, is the notification coming back having the same client state than I used when subscribing? If not, I can abort or just neglect that particular notification. So let me update this ngrok address. This, that looks good. All right, everything should be in place. Let's do a send of this request. We're sending. And it did work again. It's my lucky day. So it succeeded. And when it succeeds, you get back the ID. So the ID is actually the unique identifier of the particular subscription that you just made. So this is a verification that the subscription succeeded. Another way to cross-check whether it succeeded is essentially doing this. Get request to the subscription's endpoint. At that point, we should still have this authorization header. Okay, let's hit send. And we get back a list of subscriptions. This is a list, an array, because you can have multiple webhook subscriptions to the same library. Alrighty, so everything is set up. Webhook is available. Now let's get it to work.
So, Bert, just out of curiosity, on the slides you mentioned that there was a one step, just to clarify that step as well. There was a one step where you said that there's a 5 second timeout to response back. Where did we saw that 5 second timeout to response back?
Well, actually, when we did the setup, let's go to the code. The code is running. And we already entered this piece of the code where code was hit. It was a validation token presented by SharePoint as part of the webhook subscription, and we replied back with it. And actually, you can also see this in the code that it will list what happens. So you can see here that we already received the validation token, and then we returned it.
Exactly. So when we in the Postman, when we posted that subscription, our application was already running. So we didn't kind of even realize that we responded back that all good. And then SharePoint is now has our endpoint registered successfully.
Yes, yes. So different ways to see it, actually. This is one option. The other way, if you switch to the Postman screen, you see that we have a new request logged over here. So each time Postman does something, it adds a line. All right, so let's do the final part of this demo. Let's go to our site. So this is the site that I created, webhook demo site, where we subscribed the webhook for. I'm going to click on documents, and I'm going to create a new document. Really doesn't matter what's in the content. Oops. And it already hits my breakpoint. So pretty quick. So I was going to tell sometimes it takes up to 5 minutes, but now it already hit the breakpoint. Split seconds. So that's really, really lucky. And normally it will be a window between 1 and 5 minutes, more or less. So this was super, super, super fast, but good. So it hit the breakpoint because I added the document over there. And I can step through the content. So let's deserialize the object. So now we have a notification object containing all the information. So it works like that. But it shows me the information about the notification. I'm going to show it over here.
And like you mentioned, Bert, while we're looking at this one, it's really important to realize that we didn't actually get any details on what happened.
Nope.
We didn't actually get any details on what was changed or what was the modification in a file or and so on. We actually get the resource ID. And then we're going to use that within the enhanced version of this code. And there is that existing sample available for people to have a look on going back on a SharePoint and do a change query and saying, hey, SharePoint, I got this notification. It seems to be that something has changed. So tell me what.
Yes. So that's how it works. That's different compared to the regular remote event receivers where you get details about the actual event. This works in a slightly different way.
Yeah. But this is more aligned on the industry standard and how typically these things are implemented. So you get an ID and then you go back on the SharePoint using the you authenticate within your, let's say you have a web job which is in a processing items from a queue, which is using then app only to go back on the SharePoint and checks the modification and does whatever is needed.
Yes, and it's also way more reliable in this way, because suppose somehow you missed the change at the previous event. With the next event, you again call get changes, and then you will see the change again if you didn't put it down last time. So it helps in reliability as well.
But wouldn't that actually mean that you need to track the notification, so the time when you have last time gone to the SharePoint and checked the changes?
Yes, once you successfully process the changes, you need to write back the last used change token in a store somewhere, or database, or on whatever persistent store that you have. So that next time you only ask the changes as of that last correctly processed change token.
Yeah, and that's shown in the more comprehensive sample. So how to do that. And I think that's using SQL Server to store that. Also, you can do whatever is your preference to store the token, as long as you have it somewhere. You have the change token. This is the last time I checked my changes, what has happened.
Yep. That's implemented in this reference webhook implementation. We already have a video out of this one where you can see it in action. And the code and the detailed setup documentation and the sample documentation will be available really, really soon once we get this developer preview out. But that will have all of these more enterprise-ready scenarios built in that sample.
And we'll add that link on the video description whenever the link is available. So we won't be probably updating the presentation, but we'll update the video description in YouTube and Channel 9 on this particular video. Good.
Good. Yeah, I think that sums up this short walkthrough. I hope you saw that you've learned how to use ngRock and Postman to play with webhooks, because in this setup, you don't have to really publish things to the outside. You don't have to push things to Azure. You can simply have your service running localhost, and with the ngRock, you connect it with the SharePoint Online, and then you use Postman to send basic requests. So gives you a fairly easy model to experiment and to learn. And then if you really want to start using this in your production code, would recommend checking out the video we have regarding the reference implementation for webhooks.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's some great notes on that sample or the reference implementation as well around the flows and all of that. But yeah, I think that's it. So thank you everybody for watching, and we'll come up with a new webcast sooner or later.
Yep, sooner or later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.